Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together sharing. Lord, I just pray that you will bless this fellowship. Lord, I ask that you guard my words now, Lord, and you speak to us. And if there's anything I say that's not from you, you will overrule and it will fall on deaf ears. But Lord, I do pray that you will speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. Now, North Korean Christians know and believe those words of Jesus. Always. Today, to the end of their life, and on into eternity. No matter what happens, hunger, deprivation, imprisonment, torture, and death, Jesus will be with them. He will never leave or forsake them, never abandon them. And so they hold on to Jesus, never denying him, believing when he says, "Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, for great is your reward in heaven." They know and understand Jesus' warning. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. They know only too well the words of Paul in Romans 8:17. If we share in Christ's suffering, we will also share in his glory. The North Korean Christians understand what suffering for Christ means. We in the West, however, sometimes find this difficult to comprehend. We prefer a peace and prosperity gospel, an easy-peasy gospel, or what can Jesus do for me gospel. Now, I don't want to get into a debate about the prosperity gospel. I'm sure God can bless a person materially as well. But the only gospel the North Koreans know, North Korean Christians, is the come to Jesus and get crucified gospel. The church in North Korea is a poor church. It's not official. It's a secret and underground church, a suffering church. But it has no lukewarm members. Would you be a Christian in North Korea? Unless you absolutely believed 100% of Jesus, the words he says. I will be with you always. Always. Now, North Korea is number one on our world watch list. It's the most oppressive society in the world. And certainly, as far as Christians are concerned, they suffer more out of all proportion, even to the ordinary population who aren't Christians, and they suffer. Believe me, they have 12 death camps, horror camps. And I'm not exaggerating. People go in and don't come out. They're literally like the Nazi concentration camps. If you don't believe me, do some homework. Go to Google North Korean death camps or North Korean horror camps. There'll be many sites telling you where they are. They can photograph them from satellite, although they don't know what's going on in them. But people have come out to tell us about them. One man with graphic drawings of skeletal beings who literally try to live off rats, the only things that protein they can get. Now, it's considered a Marxist state. It was set up by Stalin. He installed Kim Il-sung, virtually his protege. But Marx would turn in his grave, I submit, if he knew what was going on in that country today. The only worship allowed is a godlike worship of the dead dictator who set up the state, Kim Il-sung, the present dictator under the spirit of Juche, self-determination. It's an unholy trinity, just like the one in Revelations. You know the one, the devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, which, by the way, the Lord will destroy with the glory of his coming. this regime will also fall. Jesus says, I will build my church and hell will not prevail against it. Amen? But in the meantime, the Lord's people suffer as if in the tribulation. But Jesus promises them the crown. Now, the church was born in a baptism of fire. We all know that. I presume we all know that. I know you're all very educated people here. First 300 years of the church's history, various Roman dictators tried to wipe it out. And what happened? It grew. It exploded. The same thing happened in China. Mao Zedong tried to wipe Christianity out. What happened? He threw all the missionaries out. People said, oh, there's not many Christians left in China. Well, there's 100 million Christians in China today. Where did they all come from? I'll tell you where they came from. They came from God's Holy Spirit. That's where they came from. And the same thing, I contend, will happen in North Korea because Jesus builds his church often through fire. There was a great awakening in North Korea in the 1900s, early 1900s, late 1890s. Some missionaries came there and the church grew, took seed and flourished. I won't say it was a revival because they didn't have any Christianity really, but it was a great kind of seed planting. But then communism came along, you know, under Kim Il-sung, the original dictator after the war, and he sought, and they still seek, to eradicate Christianity. But we think there are now about 400,000 to 600,000 secret believers in North Korea today. And they have to be the genuine article. And you know why that is. Would you be a Christian in North Korea? Unless you really, really believed? I'll leave you to answer that for yourself. Now, the church in South Korea is also a big, strong church. But the strange thing is, most of the help that North Koreans get comes from China, not from the South. Maybe it's because the Chinese realize what it is to suffer for Jesus. Before we went into the North, we had to meet with two Chinese businessmen who were going in and out of this North Korea. And they told us where the Christians would be, where we could pray, where they'll see us, what the situation is, and so on. By the way, we've just taken 40,000 Bibles into North Korea. There's no closed door to God's word. Amen? 40,000, our aim is to put a Bible in every Christian's hand in North Korea. But in the meantime, they suffer. They are going through that baptism of fire. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the children. They, many times, their parents are thrown into these horrible death camps, and we figure there's about 70,000 Christians in these death camps. Children are often left to wander the streets, not just the children of Christians, other children as well, and they run about in feral gangs trying to eke out a living, and there's nothing there to live on. When we were there, we saw people cutting the bark off trees. They make a porridge out of it, apparently. Nothing growing in the fields, so they were digging up the thorns. That's with them trying to show us all the good bits. You know, we were watched like hawks. We couldn't do any witnessing, but we did, don't worry. But the children are called Kotjebi, which means wandering swallow. And these wandering swallows often escape to the north in China. And of course, it's like light and day. China's just like the West now, believe me. And it's a porous border because the Chinese and North Koreans are kind of allies. They don't like each other, actually, but they're kind of allies. These children obviously try and get across, and they do. And we have workers working with them on the ground in China. This boy called Jung Chil, we found him in China. He had escaped across the border. And we placed him with a Christian family. He actually wasn't a Christian then. But the love he encountered, love he had never, ever experienced before, led him to receive the Lord as his Savior. Unfortunately, Jung was rounded up one day by the Chinese authorities and with other children sent back to North Korea where they were interrogated. They found out he had become a Christian. He refused to deny his Lord and they murdered him. He's now in heaven with Jesus. We know that, why this happened because one of the other children who was brought back to North Korea, he escaped again. He didn't become a Christian and he told us what had happened to Yong. That's the reality of what's happening. The Christians that are locked up are about 70,000, about one in six of the total population. The others have to obviously keep their heads down. But it's very difficult because you have to worship the dictator. Every town has a statue where you have to go and bow down and lay flowers and so on. So Christians often can't keep up the pretense. Now, I'm sorry if you find all this a bit uncomfortable, but Open Doors is not in the business of making Western Christians feel comfortable. I'll just remind you about this, the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew. Jesus says to the goats, remember, both the sheep and the goats thought they were Christians. Both of them called him Lord. But Jesus separates one from the other and he says to the goats, when I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was hungry, nothing to eat. Stranger, you didn't invite me in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And then he separates the goats and sends them into darkness. It's interesting, isn't it? People sometimes say, oh, but that's works, having to do this and do that. Isn't that works? No, it's not. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, you shall know them by their fruits. And three of the fruits, you can read about them in Galatians and Colossians, is kindness, compassion, goodness, and bind all that together with love. And if we don't have any of these in any measure, there's something drastically wrong, and we need, I would humbly suggest, a spiritual checkup. Richard Wurmbrand, perhaps the greatest example of a suffering believer under communism in recent years, he said that they thought for years they had been forgotten about in the West. And when the first Christians came with aid and Bibles, they were filled with joy, not because just because of the Bibles and the aid, but because they realized they were not abandoned, they were not alone. Richard said, the communists told us, you're forgotten, they don't care about you. He said, but when we saw our American and English brothers risking their own lives, coming with Bibles and aid, what joy filled our hearts. Now, at this point, you might be sitting there thinking, well, Brian, what can I do? I can't go running off to North Korea with Bibles. I'm a nervous type of person. I'll probably give the game away and get caught and get other people into trouble. Don't worry about that. We don't want you to smuggle Bibles. We have people who do that. Some crazy people who like doing that, you know. I've done it myself. But you say, well, I can't run off to whatever, because I'm not that type of person, and I've got my... Don't worry about that. We're not asking you to do those things. But you can do one thing, and every Christian is called to do this, and it's the best way you can get alongside your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know what that is, don't you? What is it? Pray. Amen. Pray on every occasion. Jesus took every opportunity to pray. And hey, if anyone didn't need to pray, it was Jesus, right? I mean, he was God. But he realized the necessity of communing with Father. Now, of course, you need to know what to pray for, and I'll talk about that in a minute regarding our magazine. But I'll give you two examples of how prayer works. Years ago, there was a Christian called Alexander Ogorodnikov in the Soviet Union who started a great evangelical movement. Well, they stuck him in Siberia and tried to re-educate him? Well, he refused, of course, because he loved the Lord. So they said, well, look, let's kill the guy. He's a waste of space. But we don't want any marks on him. So the doctor said, well, look, just smash the windows out in his cell. Take all his clothes off. It's 30 below zero. He'll be frozen stiff in the morning. Okay, so they did. And, of course, Alexander started to shiver. And he started to pray. And he said, Lord, is this my end? Am I finally abandoned? At that moment, a young girl in the Philippines was woken up and told to pray for a man called Alexander. Well, she didn't know who he was, so she phoned two prayer partners. They said, well, you better pray. We'll come and join you. And they prayed all night. At that moment, Alexander, instead of shivering, started feeling enveloped in a cocoon of warmth, both spiritual and physical. And he stood up and started praising the Lord in song all night long. And when the guards came in the morning in their huge overcoats, shivering, there was Alexander, half naked, praising the Lord. That's how prayer works. I can give you hundreds of other examples, but we haven't got time for that. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those in prison as if you yourselves were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were ill-treated, were suffering. Prayer is a powerful weapon, and it does work, and we need to take it seriously. You can write prayer letters to these people. For instance, this girl was put in a prison with her two friends there for having a Sunday school, for goodness sake, in Indonesia, not high up on our list. And we visited her. Sometimes we get in. You know the prayer letters? You can take a copy with you. You can write to these people. We make sure these letters get... Some countries want to be seen to do the right thing. But my friend Paul, he's been here, by the way. He was leaving the prison, and he heard this giggling. He turned and just snapped her. She was running towards him with all the letters she'd received through Open Doors and Western Christians. Look how much that meant to her. That's not a posed photograph. If you want to know more about North Korea, I'd strongly suggest you get this book. It's a kind of fiction, but it's an amalgamation of two or three people's stories. So the things in this book actually happened, okay? And it's quite a harrowing tale, and it will give you the lowdown on North Korea. I like to leave you with a story of my own. In North Korea, we constantly prayed in parks where we knew the people were, through our contacts, where they would be watching us from. We knew it would mean a great deal to them. But one day, as we stopped to pray at a roadside kind of kiosk, they often took us to these kiosks to have coffee and some sweets or whatever, nuts. And I saw this woman really looking at us while we were praying. She'd noticed all our crosses. We took our crosses out the minute we got into North Korea. You can see in the pictures there. And she was just staring at us. So I kind of sidled over. Now, remember, you're not allowed to talk to anybody. We've got guards with us, except waitresses in a restaurant or someone selling something in one of the dollar shops. And I ambled over to the kiosk, and she was standing there with this bag, and I said to my guide, we had a female guide as well as two male guides, minders actually, I said, I bought too many sweets on purpose. I said, look, this is too much. Can I give this woman a bag of my sugared nuts? She went, yeah, all right then. And she'd noticed my cross. So I gave her this bag, and she obviously said something to my guard. She said, why is he doing this? And I said, well, tell her, oh, I'm a crazy English guy. And then I turned to her, and she saw the cross, or nobody saw, and I said, indicated because God. And that's her response. She'd never stopped waving as our coach disappeared into the distance. Now, it's easy for you to listen to me and then think, yeah, well, that was interesting. But I will urge you, please take your suffering brothers and sisters and their plight seriously. Obviously, I'm not going to advocate suffering for yourselves. That would be silly. But there's nothing greater than you can do than to pray. Because think about it. Everything else we do is our own activity. And we can sometimes fall into the, you know, danger of kind of boasting about it, have an ego about it. But prayer relies 100% on God. So that's how you know it's 100% God's activity. But you need to know what to pray for. So please think about signing up for our magazine. We have a different format now, but it's still, you can get copies there. Take a couple home if you want to. It's free. You don't have to pay for it, but you'll get it every month. And it will keep you genned up on what actually is going on, not just in North Korea, in the world. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering. Remember, Jesus, what you didn't do to one of the least of these brothers of mine, someone who's part of the body of Christ. Do you remember on the road to Damascus, he tells Paul, why are you persecuting me? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting Christians? When the Christians suffer, Jesus in some way suffers with them. Accordingly, we need to be involved in that as well, if we claim a part of that body as well. Remember when one of the first rebellious acts of fallen man was Cain shaking the proverbial fist at God and saying, am I my brother's keeper? The short answer to that is, yes, you are, if you claim to be one of the Lord's people. And when you get the magazine, you'll never hear any of this stuff on the TV. Believe me, you just won't hear it. You hear reports of the genocide going on in northern Nigeria, and they put it down to some mad group. It's been going on there for years. North Korea, they just talk about, oh, they've got the bomb, and they talk about the dictator. They never talk about the suffering Christians in prison in North Korea. You just won't hear that kind of news. But you'll get it in the Open Doors mag, and you can pray for it. Pray as a church, pray as an individual, pray as a group, perhaps in your prayer group. I'm not telling you what to do, but whatever you do, do something. God bless you all. I'll take some questions now. If can I have a glass of water? I'm trying. Has anyone got it? Yeah?
The children that you referred to,
yep,
that are fleeing up north, are many of them the children of Christians?
Some are. They're not all by any means, because don't forget there's, I think the population is something like 30-odd million, so there's only a few, relatively few Christians, about 400,000 to 600,000. Usually they would, if it's a Christian family, they all go, they're all sent. Not just the mum and dad and the children, the grandparents, and sometimes the grandchildren. Three generations, as you heard in the film, will often be sent to. And the worst death camps are in the north. In the other ones, like Yodok, people sometimes come out. That lady came out. Her family did, but she did. But in the north, they're the worst. They're literally death camps, yeah. But they don't care. These children, by the way, are often abused by, you know, adults. I'll leave that to your imagination. I don't want to get into that. But anything else? Yeah.
You said that as you went out there, you could openly display
yes,
the cross. Mm-hmm. So the Westerners are not, obviously.
They don't like it. But we just said, well, this is what we do in the West. What's the big problem? And after a couple of days, they came to accept it. I will tell you something. There is an official church, which we went to. It's a facade. The same people go there every week. They're paid to go there. It's for people coming from Russia and China. Don't forget, Russians and Chinese can visit the country, and there's many Christians amongst them. And so there's this official church. They also have an official Buddhist temple and a Muni church, by the way, if you're interested. Moon is actually a friend of the dictator that just died, and he was given permission to build this big temple, a Muni temple. But anyway, this official church, the good thing was, because it's a church, we said, well, can we sing? They said, yeah, sure. So we sang, and then they said, can we share a word with the congregation? They said, yeah, sure. So we preached the gospel. And we told them, you need Jesus. He's the only answer for you and for this country and for both your countries. And then we took the precaution of praying for your beloved leader. And North Korean Christians pray for their leader. They don't pray for him to come to harm, by the way. You heard that in the film. And we prayed for unification. They're very hot on that, but on their terms. They want it on their terms. So we prayed for unification as well. And then at the end of the trip, before we left, the head of tourism, we didn't know there was any such thing, he came to see us and he said, can you bring more groups like yourselves? And we said, yeah, but you know we're Christians, don't you? He says, yes, we want more Christians like you. And so it must have been that they'd heard about that. Maybe the leader thought, oh, well, if they're going to pray for me, fine. You know, we don't know, but it was an incredible response. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you very much indeed. We're going to pray now. You've got one or two prayer points inside your little booklets there. So let's pray.